the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terence fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need, which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willest, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, salam, peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. wherever you are. We're going to speak about thinking well of Allah on the program today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us. We're going to speak about thinking well of Allah.
I never thought about all the things you have given to me. I never thanked you once. I was too proud to see the truth and prostrate to you. Until I took the first step, and that's when you opened the doors for me. Now, Allah, I realize what I was missing by being far from you.
Today, Sunday, is the 26th of Rabiul Awwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the first of the month of Aban, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 23rd of October, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For blessing this moment, we'll listen to chapter Fussilat, verses 22-23.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وما كنتم تستترون أن يشهد عليكم سمعكم ولا أبصاركم ولا جلودكم ولكن ظننتم أن الله لا يعلم كثيرا مما تعملون.
And you were not covering yourselves, lest your hearing testify against you, or your sight, or your skins. But you assumed that Allah does not know much of what you do.
وَذَلِكُمْ ظَنُّكُمُ الَّذِي ظَنَنْتُمْ بِرَبِّكُمْ أَرْدَاكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ.
And that was your assumption which you assumed about your Lord. It has brought you to ruin, and you have become among the losers.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Bearing witness to deeds committed in this world by bodily organs is indubitable, though sinners neglect the same. Belief in the fact that we are in the presence of Allah Almighty is the most significant factor leading to human growth and guidance. We may invoke Allah Almighty to render us succor, so that through logical reasoning, we may make our beliefs firm and transparent and thereby avoid suspicion as to divine omnipotence and omniscience. Thinking well of Allah is the topic of this program, today's special. How many people have felt this way at some point? Sometimes our sin weighs heavily on us. We recognize our mistakes, but instead of turning back to Allah, we turn away. We feel that we must be so bad that even the Allah merciful will reject us. Other times, we do not see the fruits of our perseverance and belief that we will not be given what we have worked so hard for. Perhaps we do not even begin an endeavor thinking there is no use. Unfortunately, when we do this, we attribute human qualities to Allah. We act as if Allah has some grudge against us. We act as though Allah is just waiting for us to slip up and say, huh, catch you. This sounds absurd when articulated, but our actions unfortunately indicate that we believe otherwise.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified brethren. This is your host, Ali, and we are with you with a new topic, inshallah, to discuss with each other. The topic that we want to discuss it today is having full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is in Islamic terms called husnul dhann billah. Therefore, a person should always try to live with faith and healthy heart, as well as by increasing his knowledge about the Almighty and hoping for God's infinite mercy, he should institutionalize this moral virtue more and better in his being in order to achieve its effects, such as whatever is good in this world and the hereafter and forgiveness of the sin, when it is going to be the price of heaven and the best of worship. So it would definitely be a good result for this world and the hereafter. Let's define this trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Husnul dhanna billah, or having full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, means good opinion and optimism. It is in contrast to suspicion and mistrust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we use this husnul dhann about the people, that is, trusting people, it means that a person should carry everything that comes from others and has a place to carry it in a correct and good order. For example, when we see a man with an unknown woman, let's say that she is his wife or mahram, or when a person builds a mosque or another good building, it is a requirement of good faith to say that he did this and he built this and he did this act with a divine motivation and benevolent intention, and not with the intention of hypocrisy and showing off. This is not what actually should come to our imaginations and thoughts about that person. Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
From the ways to get closer to Allah at home, we can think about dhikr. What does it mean? Be with us, you will understand. Allah mentions in the Quran, in chapter I read, that is chapter 13 of the Holy Quran, verse 28, "Verily in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest." So zikr is the remembrance of Allah. Zikr is doing remembrance of Allah and in some forms expressing the natural state of the heart through recitations and supplications. Start small and try the symbol dhikr of Subhanallah. Subhanallah, that means glory be to Allah. Alhamdulillah, that means praise be to Allah. La ilaha illallah, that means there is no true God except Allah. And Allahu Akbar, that means Allah is great in every action. This dhikr is also known as the everlasting good deeds. You may choose a specific favorite dhikr of yours to recite while doing your chores, or you can use various dhikr found in the Quran and Hadith at different times of the day. Allahu, 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 Allah, Allahu, Allahu, Allah. I told you the topic of this episode is thinking well of Allah. So now we tell this thinking well of Allah when embarking on something difficult, even if we fail. Many people give up in the face of something seemingly impossible. Sometimes we give up on an individual level, getting married, getting the job we want. Sometimes it is on global level, such as injustice in the Muslim world. But the point of the struggle is to realize who is in charge. It is Allah. Allah has told us that He is as His servants think of Him. If we think well, then that is what we will find. If we do not, then that is what we will find. Your opinion should be that Allah is so merciful that He will come to your aid. What happens when you are faced with failure? When one does not get something, even if their intention was for the sake of Allah, they should not feel disheartened. You have a good opinion of Allah. Failure is just a minor setback. You need to be tested to strengthen your resolve. If you do not get that amazing job you want, know that Allah has saved something better for you. Only He knows what is best for you.
Now, when you look at the root word Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, these two words are two derivatives of the same meaning, which is mercy, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word Ar-Rahman means the all-encompassing mercy of the Almighty God. And this all-encompassing mercy includes everything, all of the creation, all of the creatures of God, the believers and the non-believers, the humans and the animals, the inanimate objects and the living beings. Everything is subject to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second attribute in the basmala is Ar-Rahim. Now, Ar-Rahim is also merciful, but for who? Ar-Rahim is the special mercy of the Almighty God that is given only to the believers. So His Ar-Rahmaniyya encompasses everyone, even the unbelievers. But His Ar-Rahimiyya includes the believers only. It is very important for us as servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remind ourselves of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Too often we forget the mercy of God in our daily lives, in our daily interactions. Allah would reveal to His prophets, He would tell them, "My prophets, when you are among the people, I want you to remind them of My mercy. Share with them how merciful I am, because I want the people to come to love Me when they discover My true mercy."
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special under the title of Thinking Well of Allah. That's a nice topic, so inshallah we're going to continue to discuss about it. So be with us. We leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is another thought-provoking saying from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, from his cousin and father-in-law, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Oh Ali, three characters are high moral standards. Regard for the one who ruptured relations with you, granting the one who deprived you, and pardoning the one who wronged you.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been narrated from Imam Baqir alayhi salam. This is about the importance of fulfilling one's promise. Imam Baqir alayhi salam said the following with regards to Allah's verse, "Do not be like her who would undo her yarn, breaking it up after spinning it to strength, by making your oaths a means of mutual deceit amongst yourselves. Right, so with regards to this verse, this verse kind of alludes to the importance of fulfilling one's promise. Imam Baqir alayhi salam, in response to, with regards to this verse, he said the following: "The one who undid her yarn was a woman from the tribe of Bani Taym bin Murrah, called Rabita or Raita, daughter of Ka'b bin Sa'd bin Taym bin Ka'b bin Lu'ayya bin Ghalib." This is the name of this woman. "She was a stupid woman who would spin hair, and after she had spun it, she would undo it and then start to spin it all over again." So this is the Allah in this verse gives a parable of this woman, right? So in this hadith, this beautiful hadith, the Imam kind of alludes to historically who this person was that Allah is comparing the breaker of the promise to. In continuation, the Imam says, "So Allah said, 'Do not be like her who would undo her yarn.' Verily Allah," the Imam says, "blessed and most high, has commanded the fulfillment of the oath and has prohibited its breaking and has made this a parable for them." Allah compares the person who breaks his promise to this stupid woman who would do this stupid thing. She would spin her yarn, then open it, then spin it again, then open it, right? Her stupidity was compared to the stupidity of the person who breaks his oath. Breaking one's oath is considered very grave and very wrong. Imam Baqir also said the following. He said, "There are three things wherein Allah, mighty and exalted, has not granted anyone a concession: the fulfillment of one's promise, be it to the good person or the bad." It doesn't matter who you made your promise to, a good person or a bad person or whoever it was, regardless of who you made the promise to, it's necessary for you to keep it and to fulfill one's oath. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "Fulfillment of a promise is a part of faith. Husnul ahd min al iman. It's a part of faith. He who does not observe his promises and his guarantee does not have conviction in Allah Ta'ala." And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said the following, when asked about the verse, "O ye who have faith, keep your agreements," and the Imam replied, This verse, it refers to the promises, keeping one's promise. People who have faith, they're supposed to keep their promises. In fact, Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he wrote a letter to his governor, who he appointed to over Egypt, Malik Ashtar, he said, "Amongst all things made incumbent by Allah, there is nothing on which people are more strongly united, in spite of the differences of their opinions and the diversity of their views, than the respect for fulfilling promises." Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the importance of fulfilling promises in the words of Imam Baqir alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم
صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network in the presence of some of the students of Sevier International Schools. Here we have Fawad Haider, Hassan Nasrullah, right?
Yes.
And Hussein Ruhullah, yeah?
Yes.
And Brother Ali Nasir. So I really welcome you all here in this session. Welcome. And salam, how are you? Good, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Everyone is fine. Yes. That's great. So, brothers and sisters, as you're listening to us, inshallah, in this session, again, we're going to hold a very important Quranic session for you. Inshallah, we'll be explaining, as previous sessions, we'll be explaining, inshallah, some of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Then we'll be working on the Tajweed rules. And we will be reciting and practicing, inshallah, these verses with Tajweed rules.
فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
So the ayah that inshallah today we'll be talking about is ayah 40 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Before we start, everyone, let's listen to this ayah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا بني وأوفوا بعهدي أوف بعهدكم وإياي فارهبون.
Alright, now inshallah I will be reciting and can you repeat after me?
Yes.
Okay, listen and repeat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم
يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم
اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأوفوا بعهدي أوف بعهدكم
اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأوفوا بعهدي أوفي بعهدكم
وأوفوا بعهدي أوفي بعهدكم وإياي فارهبون
وأوفوا بعهدي أوفي بعهدكم وإياي فارهبون
أحسنتم ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. So the very important point here is that Allah Almighty in these verses, okay, so the next 2, 3, 4, 5 verses Allah Almighty is talking to the Jewish people, okay, and the followers of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, okay? Actually, when Allah Almighty talks to them, okay, it's not only for them, all right? So the rules of the Quran Karim are general rules. So Allah Almighty says, Ya Bani Israel. Bani Israel, as you know, Bani means, in English, in Arabic, it means children. Okay? Children.
Yes.
And Israel is...
Children of Israel.
The children of Israel.
Yes.
Now, who was Israel?
Israel was the
Israel was a nation. Or a tribe, a group of people.
Tribe, yeah.
But who was Israel? That they were called the children of Israel. Yeah, say it.
Hazrat Yaqub.
Okay, yeah, he's right. So Israel was the name for Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam.
Yes.
Now what does Israel mean? Isra means slave or servant. Okay? Abd. Il means Allah Almighty. Mm-hmm. Israel, it means the slave of
God.
Allah. God. Or the Abdullah we say in Arab.
Yes.
Abdullah. So it was the name of Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam.
Yes, sir. Yes.
So they were the followers. Then they were the followers of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. So guys, inshallah, I want you to really refer to that Tafasir book, inshallah, for more information, okay? For the explanation.
If you see the Holy Quran in Surah Muzammil, ayat number 20, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, and recite as much as possible from the Quran. As much as possible.
Rabbana ma khalaqta hadha.
That's why they say one of the beauties of the eloquence of the fasahat and balaghat of the Quran is that whenever you open the Quran, it's as if it speaks to you today very, very clearly.
The Quran is a covenant of God for His creature. It is misaq. It is covenant for His servants. It is necessary for the Muslims to read this covenant and recite 50 words every day.
Now, Ya Bani Israel. Bani, we have Yamadi, right? And
yes.
Next word starts with Hamza. Here we said we have to apply the rule of Mad. But here we have to apply the rule of mad. But let's see, is the mad wajib or jais? Ya Bani Israel.
It is jais.
Jais. Why? Because harf al-mad and hamza are in two separate words.
Yes.
Ya Bani, one word, two words actually. Ya is one word, Bani is another word. So Ya Bani Israel. Bani and Israel.
Israel.
So Israelaha. Here we have again Alif Mad Ra, then Hamza.
Jais Munfasil.
I said Israel are two words, yes?
Yeah, yes.
But it's now a compound word. So for compound words we have one, they are considered as one, okay? So Israel, it's one word now. It's wajib. Ya Bani Israel. Right? You have to prolong. Udhkuru, Hamzatul Wasl. It's a word. It's a verb, yes?
Yeah.
Hamzatul Wasl. So, what harakat should we assign Hamzatul Wasl with? It has to be a Dhamma, Fatha, Kasra.
Dhamma.
If you join this, the previous word, Israel, Ladhkuru, Hamzatul Wasl will be skipped.
Skip,
but
yeah.
If you start from Udhkuru, how do you say? Udhkuru, yes.
Dhamma,
I said it already. So, Dhamma. Why the third letter is having
Dhamma.
A Dhamma on the top? Udhkuru, not adhkuru, not idhkuru. All right, Hassan?
Yes.
Okay. Ni'mati, ya. Make sure, do not say ni'matillati. Ni'mati, yallati. Ni'mati, yallati, okay? An'amtu alaykum. Make sure it's not an'amta alaykum, okay? An'am. Two, Fawad, it's not an'amta. Surata alladhina an'amta alayhim, okay? It is an'amtu alaykum. I have blessed or bestowed. An'amtu means I have blessed, okay? Or, sorry, I have bestowed. An'amta means you have bestowed. An'amta, we talk about Allah Almighty, okay? We say, oh Allah Almighty, you bestowed upon them the the blessings. Yeah, yeah. But here, an'amtu alaykum, Allah talks to Bani Israel that I have bestowed upon you. Okay. وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِي. A good message is here that we have to, it is a command, it's wajib, that we have to fulfill our promises. We have to stay on our words. If you're saying that Thursdays, we have classes, and you say, okay, I come, you have to come. You've promised. That's it. All right? You have promised Allah Almighty that, oh Allah Almighty, I will wake up in the early morning, okay, I'll do 2 rakat of morning prayer, okay? You have to wake up and do it. It's your promise. أَوْفُ بِعَهْدِي. Then Allah Almighty says, if you do it, أُوفِ بِعَهْدِكُمْ. I will fulfill my promise as well. I will shower my blessings. I will pour my blessings upon you. Simple as that. Okay? So, now, أُوفِ بِعَهْدِكُمْ وَإِيَّايَ فَرْهَبُونَ. Make sure you pronounce the letter Ra correctly. فَرْهَبُونَ. So, that's it. Very simple. All the rules were here applied. Okay, one more thing. أَنْعَمْتُ نُن ساكين plus عين. What rule is applied, Hassan? أَنْعَمْتُ نُن ساكين plus عين. عين is from the throat letters. What rule is applied here?
إظهار.
إظهار is applied, okay? إظهار, no, we don't have إظهار, okay? We have إظهار. إظهار, make sure it is إظهار. So إظهار is applied. So what is إظهار? How do you apply the rule إظهار?
No rule.
No rule. Just read it.
أنعمتُ.
أنعمتُ. Just read it. Okay, make sure عين is pronounced correctly. So now I will read it again. You repeat it after me, right? يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم. يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم. So I stop here, okay? We'll continue from the next word. وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِي أُوفِ بِعَهْدِكُمْ وَإِيَّايَ فَارْهَبُونَ.
وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِي أُوفِ بِعَهْدِكُمْ وَإِيَّايَ فَارْهَبُونَ.
صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. Thank you so much for joining us today. That was all from this session, okay? In this session, inshallah, we'll see you in the next coming sessions. Stay with us. We really recommend you. Thank you so much, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, and also Ali Nasir. See you, inshallah, in the coming session. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور. آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
The Ocean of Dua.
Allah, Allah, Allah. بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned. أَفَتُرَاكَ سُبْحَانَكَ يَا إِلَهِي وَبِحَمْدِكَ تَسْمَعُ فِيهَا صَوْتَ عَبْدٍ مُسْلِمٍ سُجِنَ فِيهَا بِمُخَالَفَتِهِ وَذَاقَ طَعْمَ عَذَابِهَا بِمَعْصِيَتِهِ وَحُبِسَ بَيْنَ أَطْبَاقِهَا بِجُرْمِهِ وَجَرِيرَتِهِ Dear listeners, as you were previously with us, we were discussing this part of the Kumail supplication, in which Imam Ali alayhi salam, the commander of the believers, states, أَفَتُرَاكَ سُبْحَانَكَ يَا إِلَهِ وَبِحَمْدِكَ تَسْمَعُ فِيهَا صَوْتَ عَبْدٍ مُسْلِمٍ سُجِنَ فِيهَا بِمُخَالَفَتِهِ. Can't you see yourself, glory be to you, my Allah, and yours is the praise, hearing within the fire the voice of a slave surrendered to you, imprisoned there because of his violations. وَذَاقَ طَعْمَ عَذَابِهَا بِمَعْصِيَتِهِ. He is suffering its torment because of his disobedience. حُبِسَ بَيْنَ أَطْبَاقِهَا بِجُرْمِهِ وَجَرِيرَتِهِ. He is confined within its levels because of his sin and his crimes. وَهُوَ يَلِجُّ إِلَيْكَ ضَجِيجَ مُؤَمِّلٍ لِرَحْمَتِكَ. Yet he is lamenting before you with the lament of the one hopeful for your mercy. As you may remember, in the previous episode, we said that Imam Ali alayhi salam is explicitly saying that the reason this man is confined within the different levels of hellfire is because of his sins and crimes. Yet, he is hopeful of Almighty Allah's mercy. Now, since we were looking at the different etiquettes and prerequisites of acceptance of supplication and dua while we were having a discussion over different parts of Kumail supplication, we tried to have a look at the role of sins in the acceptance of supplications. In the previous episode, we concluded that there are some obstacles and impediments which prevent a prayer from ascending to Allah. And the role of sins is that they veil man from Allah. They have two important roles. The first is that they take away man from Allah, they cut him off from him. And the second is that they prevent the prayer from ascending to Allah. Now, in order to clarify and elaborate on that, we need a short introduction. We know the importance of soul and qalb, that is a kind of connecting device that receives from Allah, and on the other hand, it gives out. It has a twofold function. The guidance and light is specific to the hearts of the believers based on the Holy Quran, and of course the muttaqin, the pious ones, because they receive it, because they interact with this light. Now, in the second aspect, the heart plays the role of disseminating the light and the guidance it has received. Allah the Exalted says, "And the one whom Allah has not granted any light has no light." So, the role of the heart in the process of receiving, giving out guidance is kind of arbitrary. It receives this light from Allah and then directs with it man's power of sight, hearing, and the rest of his organs. Now, if you want to know how the heart becomes somehow like a stone that cannot receive any light, air, or water, you need to look at the importance of the role of sins in somehow changing the functions of the heart. We'll elaborate more after a short break.
My Lord, glory and praise be to you. Would you disregard the voice of a Muslim slave imprisoned in hell for his disobedience and imprisoned within its pits for his evil doings and misdeeds, crying out to you the cries of one who has faith in your mercy, and calling out to you in the language of those who believe in your unity and seeking to approach you by means of your epithet.
Thank you, Allah, God, that we here feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true. And we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Dear listeners, we know that when the Holy Quran says deaf, dumb, and blind, they will not come back to the right path. We know that a deaf and blind person is not able to receive any calls or light. This means his heart is somehow useless. And this is the importance of heart. Mentioning one of the characteristics of the Holy Quran, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "The book of Allah by which you see, speak, and listen." So, if the soundness of the heart is lost, it would be devoid of any power to receive the divine light. So, the owner of the heart would be unable to receive the descending Quran from Allah. Now, the role of the sins is that they cause the death of the heart. This is the key sentence. Allah says, "Indeed, you cannot make the dead hear, nor can you make the deaf hear the call." So, when some people are calling the Almighty Allah and they are not responded to, when they are imprisoned in the hellfire, حُبِسَ بَيْنَ أَطْبَاقِهَا بِجُرْمِهِ وَجَرِيدَتِهِ, is because of their sins. The flaw is not in the strength of the call. The flaw is not in its delivery. It is in the ability of the dead to hear. It is in the ability of this supplication to ascend. And this is exactly the state of the obscurity of the heart and its disconnection from Allah the Exalted. These sins committed by mankind cause the heart to be disconnected from the Almighty Allah. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is for a better life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, "I have been sent to complete noble manners."
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, my dear sisters and brothers from all around the world, I hope you're all doing well. You are here with me for a better life. And, you know, I'm Bita, and I am somehow interested in ethical issues in Islamic way. And I'm really honored and, you know, appreciate the time I have to talk about somehow ethical and moral topics with you. I wish you all enjoy the episode of today. Today, I'm going to talk about, you know, the most important aspects of morals and ethics. As you know, morals and ethics is a kind of, you know, a vast area that we cannot just limit it with categories or something like that. But in general, as you know, there are four main categories in ethical issues that I want to count them. One of them is wisdom, chastity, justice, and valor. The most practical form of ethics is actually valor, the hot topic of today that I'm going to talk about. And, you know, I wish you just consider all of these and all the time you're going to spend listening to my audio, thinking about the way you are living, because you are listening to For a Better Life. And, you know, I'm going to explain this issue more for you. First of all, I'm going to start with the meaning of valor. There are many misunderstandings and misconceptions about the meaning of valor, because most of the people actually, you know, get confused about the valor and cowardice. Maybe it's a big shock for you that I'm just, you know, telling you that there is special similarities in cowardice and valor. But I'm going to leave you with this cliffhanger, and then we're going for a short break. Then we're going to come back and go on for our hot topic of today. Stay tuned.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to me for a better life. We're talking about one of the most important and most practical aspect of ethical issues, valor. First, I'm going to read your poem about bravery, about